Welcome, everybody, to episode 42 of Three Up, Three Down, your weekly baseball podcast covering everything in Major League Baseball. I'm once again joined by my baseball roundtable associates this week. First up, Angelo Felicia. Say hi, Angelo.
Hi, Angelo.
Going over to Kurt Peter.
I don't have to say anything, but all right.
There you go. Brian Boynton, representing the American League West over in Texas.
Howdy, y'all.
And last and least, Jeremy Dorn.
Angelo, that was money. I was just finishing laughing when Mapes called my name.
And my name, Brian Mapes, your host, and we're going to get it started with the big news this week. Derek Jeter, the captain of the New York Yankees, they find another small crack in his repaired left ankle. Of course, that ankle broken during last year's playoffs. He is now out through the All-Star break. Originally believed that he'd be ready for opening day. Then they change it to May 1st. Now it's through the All-Star break. Guys, what do you think about Derek Jeter's chances of coming back even this season and being an effective player for the Yankees, who, are, crazily enough, are still doing well in the first 2 weeks of the season without the captain? We'll start it off with Jeremy.
Well, first of all, that's just to touch on the point you just made, them doing well. You know, that's why it's what we were talking about with our over-under episode is you can't count out the Yankees. They somehow, they got Lyle Overbay, Travis Hafner, Vernon Wells, all these guys that everyone laughed at those signings, and they're mashing. It doesn't make any sense, but that's why I can't pick against the Yankees. As for the Jeter question, I do think he'll be back this season. I'm sure it'll take a little longer than they already think for the third time, but we'll see. And as for him being, you know, impact player, he's Derek Jeter, and he showed us the last couple of years that no matter how old he is, no matter how injured he is, he's going to make an impact. So I don't know if it'll be as immediate or as big as years past, but, you know, it's a huge addition for them going into the second half of the season when he does return.
KP, over to you. What are your thoughts on Derek Jeter coming back this season?
I think when he does come back, it'll definitely be a big boost to the Yankees. I know that obviously he's their biggest leader. He's been there forever, and I don't know that his play will be back up to how it was, but it's definitely going to boost the morale when and if he comes back, and hopefully, I guess I'm not a big Yankees fan, but hopefully for Yankees fans that he'll come back and throw a little spark if they're down or if they're on a winning streak, they'll just continue to ride the wave.
Angelo, over to you. Do you think we see the Derek Jeter we've been used to all these years when he does come back?
I think we're going to see something similar. I don't think it'll be as good, but I think what you're going to see more out of the Yankees and Derek Jeter when Jeter comes back is the heart that they show on the field. If the Yankees are in it still when Jeter comes back, I know it's kind of hard sometimes to be out of it by midseason All-Star break, but if they're in it and they're hovering out first, second place, maybe even a close third, I wouldn't doubt that against the Yankees. I think Jeter might show some heart. The team might stand up for him, and that might make him on a pretty good tear.
Brian, over to you. Final thoughts on the Yankee captain.
I'm going to kind of agree with everybody else. I think his play, I don't think, is going to be up to what he's used to producing on the field, but just having him in the lineup every day is going to provide a big boost to the Yankee lineup, and I think they're gonna show that they're old, they're hurt, but I mean they're still the Yankees for a reason, and I think he's going to help them out down the stretch a lot.
All right, more injuries in Major League Baseball. Ryan Zimmerman of the Washington Nationals to the 15-day DL with a left hamstring strain. No worries, though. The Nationals, they don't rebuild. They just reload. They call up Anthony Rendon. Rendon was hitting .292 at Double-A Harrisburg. He was the sixth overall pick a few years ago in the draft. More injuries. Pitching injuries here, all from the National League West. Yolis Chacin, who has been the ace for that Rockies pitching staff, Chad Billingsley of the Dodgers and Jeremy Affelt, the relief ace for the San Francisco Giants, all of the 15-day DL. Jeremy, which injury affects their team the most? Chacin, who's been the leader of that pitching staff for the surprising Rockies. Billingsley going down to a team that's already lost Zach Greinke. Or Jeremy Affelt, who's one of the head honchos in one of the best bullpens in the majors.
I'm tempted to go with my guy, Chad Billingsley, because it's my team and I know firsthand how much it's affecting us. But, you know, they're all really important. You can't lose a lefty specialist like Affelt and expect to be the same bullpen. Can't lose a, you know, a good back of the rotation starter like Billingsley and expect to replace him. But I'm going to go with Chacin just because, yeah, the Rockies are on a tear. They're on an unbelievable start. And it's largely due to Chacin and the rest of their rotation being shockingly good so far. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's not going to maintain. I think they'll still keep scoring a lot of runs because they have an offense that improved from last year's league-leading offense, which is scary. But just the pitching staff overall playing in Denver, it's not something that I expect to continue. And Chacin is the most promising starter on the team. So, you know, once they kind of even out and come back to earth as far as pitching goes, they need that ace. They need that guy that will be someone they can at least depend on more than everyone else. I think that, you know, when they cool off a little bit, that they're really, really going to miss Chacin.
All right, the Chicago Cubs. Now, I mean, don't have a lot of Cubs news, as they're probably going to be down in the basement of the NL Central this year, but they claim Julio Barbón from the Texas Rangers. Brian, Rangers fan, what can Cubs fans expect from Julio Barbón?
He's going to provide solid defense in center field. He can play all three outfield positions. The problem where he struggles is with his bat. He's extremely inconsistent. For somebody so fast, he's not a terrific base runner. He gets caught stealing a lot. I think he's got 40 stolen bases, been caught 14 times, caught stealing 14 times. He doesn't walk a whole lot. He strikes out at an average clip, I guess. But he's going to provide great defense in the outfield. He's going to shore up their outfield defense, but he's not going to get done at the plate the way I think Cubs fans would think he would. I know he got out to a great start in spring training this year. It was really tough for the Rangers to release him, but obviously they had gone a different way. And I wish him the best of luck in Chicago. I always like watching him play because he plays hard every day, but he just, like I said, I'm just not real consistent at the plate.
All right, a couple players returning that haven't played yet this season come back to the majors this week. Who's the more important returning player? Chase Headley led the National League in RBIs last year for the San Diego Padres, or Big Poppy David Ortiz returning for the Boston Red Sox? His first game back, of course, everything, the ceremonies in honor of the Boston Marathon victims. So proud of the Boston law enforcement getting the job done, catching the second terrorist that attacked the Boston Marathon this week. David Ortiz gave, quite frankly, one of the most memorable speeches you'll see before a game. It's probably not on Lou Gehrig's today. I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth level, but it's probably a little just under that on a lower level. But back to the question now. Sorry about that sidetrack. Who's the more important return, David Ortiz or Chase Headley? We'll start it off with Angelo.
Well, I think because the Red Sox are in first place and getting Ortiz back makes Ortiz coming back the bigger of the two. But don't sleep on Chase Headley and the Padres. I know they're in last place right now, but Chase Headley provides the majority of that offense right there in scoring runs, and that's just what they need right now, obviously, because they're not winning ball games. But I'm going to stick with Ortiz on this one.
All right, KP, over to you. What's the more important return, Ortiz or Headley?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of got to agree with Angelo. I think Headley's probably a bigger return in the terms of impacting a team because the Padres aren't doing so hot right now, and he's kind of the soul of the team. And, I mean, he brings a lot of average, he brings some power. But Ortiz is definitely one, that speech obviously roused up Boston, and they're playing inspired baseball right now. And but he's going to be coming back, swinging a big bat. He always does, and just kind of firing up the team and keeping the wave in Red Sox Nation going.
Brian, over to you. Your thoughts on Headley versus Ortiz as the biggest return?
Well, like we were mentioning with Derek Jeter, he is the heart and soul of that team. So you can't knock him down for that. And, Headley's a great player. He's going to be a good player for a long time. But, I mean, this is David Ortiz here. That, like everybody keeps mentioning, that speech he gave really, like, inspired the team, inspired the city, like, that they needed much anyways. But just having him in the lineup every day means a lot to the team. Like, so, can't knock out Ortiz.
Jeremy, final thoughts on Ortiz versus Headley?
Yeah, and I think that, the speech Ortiz gave kind of proves the point, the answer to this question. And I agree with Angelo, the Padres are better than we think. I mean, I should know that kicked my Dodgers' asses last week, but, you know, Headley is the key to that team. I still think they're a season or two away from contending, whereas the Red Sox are showing that they're ready to be back in contention right now. And getting a huge clutch bat like Ortiz back in the lineup, you know, no matter the speeches or the team camaraderie that goes with it, just getting his raw skill set, even though I think Headley's the better player right now, getting the raw bat of Ortiz in the middle of that lineup is just going to make them more dangerous. I think he's the more important addition.
I also agree. I'm going with David Ortiz just because it's not about the bat. It's about bringing his clubhouse presence back. I think he is going to help out, in, not just in the lineup, but in the clubhouse as well. So I'm going to go Ortiz, and I think Boston's going to make a run for the playoffs. KP, going to give you a lot of love right now.
Uh-oh.
A lot of crazy stuff happening in Milwaukee. You can go to our blog, 3u3d.mlblogs.com. You can get the full breakdown of Gene Segura somehow stealing first base. Plus, it looks like a Photoshop, but it's not. We'll get the photo up on the blog with this podcast on the website, 3u3d.mlblogs.com, of Carlos Gomez completely ducking the Gatorade bath he was given. What's the crazier view you had? The Gene Segura stealing first or Carlos Gomez's crazy photo?
For me, I think stealing first is probably, I think, one of the craziest things you've ever seen in baseball. I mean, I was at a bar watching on TV. There was no sound, so I couldn't tell what was happening. And all of a sudden, Braun gets to second. I was like, oh, good. I mean, he got caught stealing, but Gene's going to let him get to second. We'll be fine. And then he gets in there, slides into second, and the ump points at Braun, and he shows him out, and I was kind of like, all right, well, that was weird. And then Gene's walking off the field, and he trots back to first and stands on first base. I was like, what the heck is going on? I mean, we were playing the Cubs, so we're trying to give them the most advantage that we can. You know, one extra base wouldn't be bad. It would have been even better, though, I think, that if he would have stolen first and then stolen second back, which would have been, I don't know, probably the first, definitely the first time that's probably ever happened. Stolen second the first time, or stolen second twice in the same inning without going around the order. That'd have been crazy. I love the water picture, though. It was cool.
All right. Not the only crazy stuff happening on the field for the Brewers. Off the field stuff happening. Giovanni Gallardo, the ace pitcher for the Brewers, arrested for DUI this week. KP, should Gallardo expect more of a punishment coming than the fine he just got from the police department?
I don't know. I guess I haven't looked into prior incidents with Major League players and DUIs and such, but I don't know necessarily. I mean, I feel like they would have done something by now. I mean, he started 2 days after that or 3 days after that and, in fact, hit a home run, so all my friends were joking around that maybe he should get more DUIs, you know? If he's going to throw 7 shutout innings or whatever and hit a home run, I mean, sounds good to me. But seriously, no. Kids, drunk driving is no joke.
That is very true. Even if it gives you special baseball powers in your next start, do not drink and drive. That is bad. All right, that's going to do it for the news portion. Going to move over to 3-up, 3-down fantasy for this week. And we're going to start it off with a player who I bought into last year, didn't live up to the hype, but is off to a hot start in 2013 for the Kansas City Royals. Angelo, who is your 3-up player for this week?
None other than Lorenzo Cain. He's batting .368 on the year, 9 RBIs, great on-base percentage. Only thing I can say about him is if you have room for him, I'd pick him up. Just know that he's probably going to strike out about once per game. That's just a little bit under that. So if you can afford strikeouts, he's a great pickup.
Sounds good. He might be a late bloomer here, bringing the thunder for the Royals so far. Speaking of bringing the thunder, my 3-up player this week is Chris Johnson of the Atlanta Braves. Might run into some playing time issues, but the way he's been hitting over .500 this week, leading the National League in batting average, the Braves are going to find a place for him, whether it's platooning with Juan Francisco at third base. Basically, he's going to take the job while they're in Colorado, and then they go to Detroit where they can have the DH. Chris Johnson will probably be the DH there. He's going to get some at-bats still. He is worth a pickup now while he's still hot. I've been riding the Chris Johnson bandwagon. It's been fantastic so far. The last 3-up player this week, we're going to have a little home cooking from Brian. Who's your 3-up guy for this week?
It's Harry Carey. No, it's Derek Holland, who does a great Harry Carey impression. But I would kind of temper your excitement on him, though. Two of his 3 starts have been in minus 40-degree weather. So, I mean, they've all been against not great offenses at the time. But he is off to an awesome start. A 1.64 ERA. He's 1-1 on the season. His first start, he got the no decision. But he's got 15 strikeouts, a .77 whip. He's been lights out so far. The big running joke in Dallas right now is the Derek Holland inning of doom, in which at some point in the game, he's going to give up 2 to 3 runs an inning, and he's going to completely lose control, which we've all seen. Sometimes that happens in the first. Sometimes it happens in the 8th. Who knows? He never makes it out of that inning. But so far this year, he has been able to push that aside, and he's gotten through every inning without having that huge inning. So we'll see what he does the rest of the season. But right now, he's on fire. So I would pick him up, and I'd look for him to start tomorrow.
Yeah, Derek Holland has a 2-start week this week at the Angels, in which he'll battle Joe Blanton, who, if you want to battle somebody, it's usually Joe Blanton. And then he has a 2nd start this week at Minnesota in that spacious ballpark of Target Field, taking on Scott Diamond. So 2 reasonably good starts for Derek Holland, and he's been a quality starter so far this season. Going to go to 3 down, guys that have not been quality starters so far this season. And we're going to start it off with a rookie that had some promise coming into the year. Maybe he's this year's Lorenzo Cain, where he's just going to let people down that had high hopes for him. Jeremy, who's your 3-down player for this week?
Yeah, you know, Jed Jerko on the Padres, he came into the season with hype because he earned it in AAA last year. He absolutely tore it up, .328, 24 homers, 83 RBIs, and 92 games last year for the Padres AAA team. And so he started the year this year on the big league club, starting at third base while Headley was out, and then moved over to second, where they planned to play eventually anyway when Headley returned. But it's definitely been a rough go. It seems like they're committed to him. You know, I don't know if they'll shuttle him back and forth, but he's only hitting .220 right now. He only has 6 RBIs, no homers. He's just not living up to the promise that they expected out of him. But then again, it has only been 16 games. I think that he's a guy you keep on the bench for a couple more weeks and at least, you know, monitor. I don't think he's worth dropping now, because if he does kind of catch on and start to understand big league pitching, he's got the tools to really break out and have a good couple weeks. If the slide continues, they have, you know, Alexi Amarista behind him, who seems to produce every time he's in. So that is a dangerous position to have someone right there on your heels. But either way, definitely keep him around. I wouldn't start him if you have been. That was a mistake in the first place. But keep him around, see how he does over the next couple weeks, and then decide if you need to keep or drop him.
Yeah, everybody was really excited about Jerko, especially that he could play his natural position of third base with Headley out, but has not delivered offensively so far. Speaking of not delivering offensively, a guy hitting under 100 coming into today. Angelo, who is your three down player from the AL Central?
That's going to be Adam Dunn. Yes, you're right, Mapes. He went 1-for-4 today to bring his average up to 108. He's got 7 hits all year. He's just doing what Adam Dunn does. He's got 3 home runs out of those 7 hits. And you're not looking at a very productive bat right now.
Yeah, hopefully he can, if he even hits 220 and gets you the 35 homers, you can live with it. But if he's going to hit 170, 180 again, I don't think you can live with the big donkey.
I can live with that.
Of course you can live with it, but going to go over to our last three down player, and it's a player that once again got rocked. We kind of alluded to it last week about the fluid situation in the Cardinals bullpen, but it looks like this guy who is the most owned will not be the Cardinals closer for quite a long time. KP, who is your three down player for this week?
Yeah, my three down player was former Cardinals closer, Mitchell Boggs. He kind of gave it all up when he decided to let up 6 earned runs in a 1/3 of an inning, but he got a save after that, and then it's kind of been all downhill for him from there. I mean, he got replaced in the bullpen as a closer, and the Cardinals have been doing all right, but Edward Mujica looks like he's probably going to be taking the ball out of Boggs' hands, and Boggs will probably move into a late reliever, maybe 8th inning, 7th. I guess it's more situational depending on the game, but the 8.64 ERA isn't helping anyone.
Yeah, and that's only going to go up today as he gives up 4 runs in the 8th inning to the Philadelphia Phillies as they take that one on Sunday Night Baseball. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him after Boggs was absolutely fantastic for Mike Matheny's bullpen last season. Going to move over to another segment. What has been your biggest surprise so far this season? For me, it's the Colorado Rockies right there on the heels of having the best record in baseball. I believe we all took the under for the Colorado Rockies in our over-under in the preseason, but they are playing fantastic baseball so far. They get the offense from Tulo. They get it from Carlos Gonzalez. Things are going well in the Mile High, except for the weather. If they can get the weather sorted out where there's not 10 inches of snow for the grounds crew to have to clear, big ups to them for getting all of that clear to play a Mets game and doubleheaders and 30-degree weather. But aside from that, it might be cold in Denver, but the Rockies are red hot so far this season. Going to go over to Brian. What has been your biggest surprise in 2013 so far?
I'm going to piggyback on yours and also go with your Braves, actually. I knew that they would score a lot of runs. I knew that they would have a solid bullpen. I just didn't think that their bullpen would be that good. They have the lowest ERA in baseball right now. What is that, I think, a 106? I knew they would hit a lot of home runs. We all talked about this. But they're doing it at an insane clip right now. And they went on that, 10-game win streak, 9-game win streak? It's crazy. And the fact that Colorado's actually tied them today for the best record in baseball, that's also pretty amazing. So, I mean, they're both playing lights out right now.
Jeremy, over to you. What's been your biggest surprise so far this season?
Well, you know, I've been on this team. They've been my man crush team for, this is the second year in a row, the Kansas City Royals. And I'm not necessarily surprised that they're doing pretty well, 10-7 right now. But I think the thing that's been shocking me, because we know they can hit, we know that lineup can produce, they're third in the American League in ERA, and their starters have been ridiculous. I mean, I thought that the trade they made with Tampa was going to go well for them, and it has so far. But Jeremy Guthrie, Irvin Santana have also been fantastic so far in the rotation, and it's been a lockdown bullpen. So, you know, you wonder if 2.5 weeks into the season it might be kind of fluky, as I feel that the Rockies pitching is. But, you know, if they maintain at least good pitching throughout the year, this is a very, very legitimate playoff contender. and I won't feel stupid for the second year in a row picking them to get that wild card spot.
KP, over to you. What has been your biggest surprise so far this year?
My biggest surprise comes out of the AL West, where I guess I'm surprised. I wasn't really a believer in the Oakland A's last year, and they're consistently surprising me still. I mean, barring the they just lost three in a row, they're 12-7, so they were 12-4. And I mean, Moneyball's happening out in Oakland. And then the other flip side to that is the fact that the Angels are 7-10. I mean, with that lineup and getting Josh Hamilton and Albert Pujols, I mean, their starting rotation is all pretty sick. And they're 7-10, and they just won three in a row, so they were 4-10. I mean, if you would have asked me before this season who would have been 12-7 and who would have been 7-10, I definitely would have had them flipped.
Angelo, what has been your biggest surprise so far in 2013?
I'm going to go with, and this is kind of weird because I felt differently at the beginning, but I'm going to go with the Red Sox and the Yankees leading the way in the American League East. And not teams that we thought, kind of like Tampa Bay and Toronto, being at least teams that I thought would be at the top. I know it's really early still, but to be 4 and 4.5 games back, respectively, I think I'm a little shocked by that.
Sounds good. Our final segment tonight, what we're excited to see this week, and we'll do it in the reverse order, if I can remember the reverse order. So I guess we'll just start off with Angelo. What are you excited to see this week in MLB?
Mapes, I can't wait for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when your Atlanta Braves come to Detroit to face my Tigers.
Oh, that's maybe this week?
That's this week.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can't wait. Hopefully it's a little World Series preview.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be very interesting. If it is, hopefully you'll have a room for me in Detroit ready to go.
All ready to go for you.
Sweet. I do really like Saturday's matchup of Chris Medlin versus Doug Fister. That's going to be a very, very interesting game. Two similar pitchers, don't give up a ton of runs, like to walk a lot of people. They get the job done mixing in their pitches. They're not hard throwers or anything. So I really am going to make sure I tune into that one on Fox on Saturday at 1:00. Except living in Connecticut, they're probably going to stick me with this stupid Mets-Phillies game instead.
Just be lucky you don't have to face Verlander.
That's true. I'm excited. Poor Kansas City's got to face Verlander. That's not good for them. Oh, well. Maybe that'll affect Jeremy's little call on the Royals that one time they have to face Verlander this week. Jeremy, gonna go over to you. Over to you. What are you excited to see this week?
Well, I'll give you guys credit. That series, that Braves Tiger series, is gonna be fantastic, and it very well could be a World Series preview. But I'm gonna stick to my National League here. I know how well the Braves are doing, Mapes, but you know that I'm sticking with my preseason pick. I think the Nationals are gonna win that division eventually. It's too early to tell now, but I think they are the eventual NL East champs. And this coming weekend, the same time the Tigers and Braves are playing, they're playing three with the Reds. And those are my two best teams in the National League, and they are just going to explode. It's going to be a great series, lots of great pitching, and hopefully some bombs in there. So hopefully some big homers in there too. But the Nationals, just following them as kind of my National League World Series representative choice this season. They've got a 6-game homestand coming up this week, 3 against the Cardinals, 3 against the Reds, and it's going to be a fun week for Nationals fans, especially if they get it going a little bit. But that weekend series, those 3 against the Reds, actually it might be 4, sorry. Yeah, sorry, 4 against the Reds is what I'm really looking forward to. I think that's going to be a great series, and it should be one people pay attention to.
Brian, over to you. What are you excited for this week?
Well, I'm actually more excited for next week's podcast because my team is the only one not playing somebody else in the podcast team. I'm excited to watch the Dodgers and Brewers go head-to-head and the Braves and Tigers go head-to-head so I can hear y'all talk about it next week and argue about who's the better team. So that's what I'm most looking forward to.
Oh, man. You're hoping it's like Lord of the Flies. We all just kill each other and you inherit the podcast.
Exactly, yeah. I kind of want to be king of the mountain on this one.
KP, what are you excited for this week?
Well, I mean, aside from the Brewers racking up wins 11, 12, and 13 in a row against the Dodgers this weekend.
Whoa!
I'm excited, actually. I don't know, this is kind of like a very nitpicky thing, but I'm excited for Jay Bruce to play the Cubs just so he can finally hit a home run and get off of the Schneid.
He still doesn't have a home run?
No. Zero home runs.
I did not notice that.
And I figure, what better than to play the Cubs?
Not
or
gonna
what
lie.
Better to play a reliever on the Brewers so Matt Kemp can hit his first homer?
Oh, that's so funny. I think Kemp should have had a homer by now, but he's not MVP caliber.
Jay Bruce, we need to end this podcast. Things are going to get heated.
Jay Bruce also leads the league in strikeouts right now. That's
yeah.
a little ridiculous. Wow.
Oh, he's on my bench. I know that.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to hang up on you guys, and I'm going to go make lowball offers for Jay Bruce right now.
You should.
In all my fantasy leagues. Maybe I can get him and Matt Cain.
And Coco Crisp. Sneaky good.
Oh, Coco Crisp. So good. So delicious.
Yeah.
Well, that's gonna do it for this week's podcast. I'd like to once again thank my Baseball Roundtable associates for joining me this week. Angelo Felicia, Kurt Peter, Brian Boynton, Jeremy Dorn, and I am merely Brian Mapes. We'd also like to send our congratulations to original 3U3D member Abby Mullenhauer on her wedding yesterday. She did get married. We're very excited for her. Abby, nothing but the best for you and your husband and the baby that is on the way. That's going to do it for us this week. Make sure you check out the blog. It's 3u3d.mlblogs.com. Super proud. We've already had our best month ever, and we still have 10 days to go, so we appreciate everybody for reading that. If you want to follow us on Twitter, on the Twitter feed, you get the instant posting of our blogs. It's at 3U3D. On Facebook, it's 3Up3Down, all words, no numbers. If you'd like to email us, it's 3U3DBaseball@gmail.com. And if you'd like to subscribe to us on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. That's going to do it for us. I'm sorry we ran out of time. We'll get to Eddie Mata the next time. Touching me. Touching me.